Welcome to Unputting the Territory Season 2. Clubhouse Games, the gate above set's been put away, but we're now into games to decide the rightful being the elite champion. This week, the reigning and defending champion, John Silver, faces Marco Stunts in a kick and spin the cap off the bottle competition. How are you this week, Dan?
All good, mate, all good. Ready for another episode of Unputting the Territory. Not too much to report this week in the world of Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, I'm doing good. I nearly had a heart attack through the week, though, because I've got a bit of a backlog of these to edit, and I was editing episode 2, and it was only about 15 minutes long, and I was thinking, oh, we must have really wrapped up this spicy chip challenge early on. And it turned out half of it was missing.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, no. So, fortunately, it was still available to download on Skype, but had a very worrying moment.
Yeah, I don't think we could have recaptured the magic on a re-record.
No, we would have had another lost episode to add to our lost episodes.
Which we do need to get back to at some point and finish off New Blood Rising, but that's a story for another show.
It is. Well, you know, we can kick around some stories while we're in the 19th hole. So are you drinking, Dan?
I am indeed. Just before Christmas, I got given a slab of beer from my old man's local. And I've just now started getting into it. So for today, and probably for the foreseeable future, I'm drinking Timothy Taylor's Poulter's Porter. At 4.8% describes itself as rich and dark with hints of chocolate. And it's not far wrong. It's a very easy drinking, rich, tasty porter.
I like Timothy Taylor's as a brewery, to be fair.
Yeah, they're not half bad.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have much variety, but what they do well, so.
You can't really ask for more, can you?
No, you can't. So, for the rest of the One Point in the Territory Season 2, I'll be drinking beers from Duration Brewery, and the reason being that I got persuaded into buying a shed load of them off Beer 52, but Duration is the brewery that exploded on me several times last year. So, in fact, 2 years ago, there was a different brewery that exploded on me this year, but I did have 3 cans of Duration go up, so I'm going to try and drink these relatively quickly. And of course, I've started with Common Sense by Duration Brewery because I've got none for getting more of their beers. But it is a 4.6% pale ale, and it's not great, to be honest.
Oh, that's a shame.
But we shall see as the weeks go on if there's any better Duration Brewery beers.
I will get there, won't we?
We will. We will indeed. Cool. So, last time we covered the number one contender Play Your Cards Right, and Marco Stunt was the winner.
Yeah, he was. A bit of a turn up for the books. My pick, Britt Baker, was the first one out. It wasn't a good week for me, really.
I still think, you know, there was that bit at the end, maybe a bit of gamesmanship. Perhaps it wasn't very sporting, but when Anna Jay threw a card in and Marco Stunt's card went everywhere, I think we needed to double-check or maybe even re-deal to Marco, given that card had moved.
I'd have said so.
Yeah. She didn't realise it was a penalty shootout situation. She may have thought differently if she knew that the rules had changed.
Yeah, it's Anna was robbed. Justice for Anna.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully she can come back and prevail at one of these many games that they're having to decide, number one contenders, etc.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Marco Stunt moves on and becomes the number one contender. So you predicted at the end of last show that John Silver would win this game of basically kicking and spinning a cap off a bottle.
I did indeed, and I've... I am confident. I'm sticking to my guns on this one.
Yeah, no pressure, but it's 3-3 in your predictions at the moment. So,
and it's going to be 4-3 by the end of this.
One way or another, yeah.
You saw through my cunning prediction there, then.
Yeah, well, you've had a chance to go ahead. This is your first... Well, you were ahead, actually, after the skits, and then you've been pegged back. But, yeah, it's a good chance to move forward here. But it's an interesting show, this, because last time we were on episode 235 of Being the Elite, and now we're on episode 237. That is due to the passing of Brody Lee and tribute shows for him. And there's certainly been elements of tribute show on this episode of Being the Elite, and then they randomly decide to stick in this defence of the championship. Do you think that was an appropriate thing to do, or do you think maybe it should have been delayed for another week?
I don't quite know. It's one of those where not knowing Brody, you kind of have to go trust that people who know him best would, you know that he would find that this bit of sort of levity and you know, he found it quite amusing. You know, I've had friends and family that have passed, and certainly I know none of them would want anybody to dwell and wallow, so to speak, forever. Some might. So the thing is, everybody's going to have a different take on this. There's no right way to grieve. Not to get too deep into anything, but there's always going to be people who say, "Oh, it's too soon," or just, you know, or even certain callous people say, "Just get on with it. We want our entertainment." And it's one of those where you can't really do right for doing wrong. But I'd like to think that as people who were close with Brody and who'd know him best, that they'd have the sense to do what he would have enjoyed, I think is the fairest way I can put it.
Yeah, and certainly John Silver, you know, had worked with him in the Dark Order. They had a lot of skits together on Being the Elite. There was a sort of running joke of Brody Lee throwing rolled up papers at John Silver when he made another mistake or failed to recruit someone, or, you know, told him to. There was a running joke of Brody Lee wanted to recruit Hangman Page to the Dark Order, and John Silver kept getting confused with Griff Garrison, and Griff Garrison wanted to join, but obviously the rest of the Dark Order didn't want him in.
Yeah.
And Brody Lee would be shouting at him, "That's Griff Garrison," and he'd be going, "What's a Griff Garrison?"
I've seen bits of that, and I remember seeing a bit with Brody, or Mr. Brody Lee, getting Sue to throw the papers at John Silver, and then just telling him to fall down.
Yes, because I think Sue had brought takeaway in for them, and then
threw the something papers. Like that. Either way, it was really funny.
Yeah. With that in mind, get the feeling that he probably would have understood, or you know, wanted to give John Silver that spotlight.
Yeah, and so often in wrestling, and so many have said it, you know, the show must go on. We've seen some horrific instances on wrestling shows that have then people have got through, and again, rightly or wrongly, in a lot of cases, but been, from all accounts, a consummate professional and a lover of entertaining people. I can imagine this being the sort of thing, like I say, that his friends would realise that Brody would have wanted to do. Just had to have that bit of levity and a break from just the enormity of his passing.
Yeah, and it was definitely something that sort of rocked AEW at the time.
And no, it basically brought a good chunk of the wrestling world together.
Yeah.
It's a sad fact that the wrestling world and wrestling fandoms are often at their best when somebody departs. And this was it, you know. I remember I was watching AEW at the time, and I remember them bringing Eric Rowan in for that one bit, and it was beautiful tributes to Brody Lee, but it's always bittersweet, because it never feels like we fully appreciated these, you know, the wrestlers that depart while they were there.
It's a shame, but you know, I suppose you can't see the wood for the trees in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? So you just have, well, you have to do what they're doing with this. Just keep going, keep plodding on.
Yeah. Well, that is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Being the Elite episode 237, and we are 17 minutes and 56 seconds in.
Yeah, and I'm ready on your mark.
So 3, 2, 1, go. BTE boy John Silver, by his own admission there.
Yeah.
Do you think this has all been happening in one show? Because John Silver is looking very tired and Marco Stunt's rubbing his eyes.
He just said it was 4:40 in the morning.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. John Silver's explaining the rules. The belt still looks beautiful.
It does, yeah.
He's slurring his words. He's so tired. Yeah. Do you think tiredness is going to have an effect in this game?
It may do. It may do. But I think Johnny Hungy will power through. Because he tells the belt to be good.
John Silver lines up. He's asked for the bottle to be brought slightly further forward. Spin and straight off. I think he's practiced. Marco Stunt is shocked. Yeah, John Silver's explaining that it's been made exactly the same. Marco Stunt lining up, looking for Sammy Guevara's holding it for him. It kicks on.
Yes.
It doesn't come off. And John Silver's retained. And there you have it. He's the greatest champion of all time. And I don't think we can really complain about that.
Fuck off. Fuck off, Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, Sammy Guevara says it's worse than the Montreal screw job. And I don't know who was holding John Silver. Do you recognise who was holding?
I don't know. Sammy Guevara's wandering around like he's shit-faced.
Well, John Silver retains. He says he's the non-stop champion. I hope he can go to bed. Because
oh, boy.
He's spinning kick boy.
Handsome. Sammy Guevara casting his aspersions. And John Silver proving him completely wrong.
Was. And there you go. It's over.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Never in doubt. I'll go 4-3.
So you're feeling confident with your predictions now?
No, not at all. Because I know that this is a harsh game and it can turn on me in a heartbeat.
Well, they do say that Gator Golf and the associated games that go along with Gator Golf are a cruel mistress.
They are, but I will commend John Silver's technique. It was perfect level. He knew exactly where he wanted the bottle. The lid came off. Marco Stunt, the person holding the bottle, could have maybe held it a bit tighter. I don't know. But it was a fairly weak kick from Marco, so I think the right person won.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And just Sammy Guevara at the end showing how loosely the cap was held on in the first place. Feels like a missed opportunity for Marco Stunt to at least have taken it to a sudden death or whatever, but yeah.
I'm glad he didn't. Just dominance. Dominance from Johnny Hungy.
Yeah, we've not seen anything like this in Gator Golf or the associated games, have we?
He's just too good.
Yeah, he is. So we're going to need to find another number one contender now. So it's a game of flip the cup.
Ooh,
number one contender match. So I don't know if experience from flipping bottles previously will help. So taking part is Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Starks, who I don't know if he should be allowed in this soon after...
The one chip cheat.
Orange Cassidy, who has been hanging around a load of these games and has just, you know, stood forward now.
Intriguing.
10, Preston Vance. I think this is his debut in any of these games.
I believe so as well, yeah. A bit of a wild card.
Yeah. Former number one contender, the captain, Sean Dean.
Oh, good to see the captain back.
Yeah. And again, I think making his debut, 5 of the Dark Order, I believe, is Alan Angels.
Yeah, had a brief stint in, I think he's actually still in Impact, actually, as part of the design. So, oh, interesting field. Is that everybody, or is there anybody else?
That's everyone as far as I know, but I missed Evil Uno, for you know.
Yeah, well, it was a last minute addition. I'm torn. I'm tempted to go for the captain again, Sean Dean, because he came through for me last time. But flipping a cup is quite a nonchalant kind of thing. You get the weight, you flip it, you do it, you're gone. So Orange Cassidy, maybe. I might have to have a think about this.
Should we take Orange Cassidy as your preliminary pick and give you a week to think about?
Yeah, Orange Cassidy or Sean Dean?
Yeah. But is Sean Dean certainly served you well in the past?
He has, and I'm quite loyal. It's why I left Alfie Doughty in my fantasy football team this week, and they're currently 1-0 to Blue, and are currently 1-0 down to Burnley.
Well, maybe it will come back to kick you in the ass, but yeah, it was a decent showing from him before, and we have seen people who've been successful at these games have often been successful again. You know, Trent's had multiple successes. Obviously, John Silva's had multiple successes. So, potentially.
Yeah. Give me a week, and I'll get back to you.
Excellent. As we say, we're recording a load of these in advance before releasing any, so we don't have time to get any feedback. But just want to say a massive support to everyone that's interacted with the show, helped get the word out. Everyone that's listening is really, really appreciated.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for watching along and entertaining our niche within a niche within a niche podcast.
Yeah, more than welcome on board. And at some point... When you go to Birmingham, Dan, you've got to get some of these games going in reality.
I'll do my best. We'll do a thing of bottle flip to see who gets the next round.
Yeah. So that sounds like, but you better practice then.
Then come. Yeah. I'll be 3 days away from payday. I'll be struggling.
Well, that's why you need to be good. So, aside from practicing flipping a water bottle, where can people find you, Dan?
I'm over on Twitter at DanGriffin21, usually tweeting a load of old bollocks. But if you want to hear more of me talking about stuff, I'm over on SJP World Media, where I do the Doctor Who pod with Si Powell, looking at one episode or serial per Doctor per series. And I'm on the volley with my strike partners, the magnificent Matt Lewis and Connor from Connor Knows Footy, providing alternative commentary for Premier League games and beyond. By the time this drops, who knows where we'll have gone with the... We've already been to the MLS, and we've got AFCON and the Asia Cup rocking around, and we may have may even delve into the lower leagues as well when I can get my teeth in. So, that's where you can find me.
That's superb. So you can find me at UTT Rob. It's really more about the mutuals than it is about the followers, so I'm absolutely more than happy to follow back. On the same channel that you listen to this, you can hear the One Man's Meat podcast with Danny at Scottish Juggler and the real Chris Bellis, and they're going through the forgotten storylines of wrestling. The rest of them might not get that much love, that kind of thing. If you go back in the archives, they also have a spin-off series where they're going through every episode of Wrestle Society X and Wrestle Society Extra. Really well researched, really funny. Get involved.
Yeah, absolutely do that. And keep an eye out for the other project, which is just as well researched, disgusting, awful. Indulge in their love of horror movies, and it is... The depth of the research, like Rob says, is incredible. Gives information on movies that I've not seen in Netflix documentaries. So absolutely show those guys some love.
Yeah, you really need to get on over there with the meaty boys.
I don't know why that made me chuckle. I'm very immature today.
In terms of the main show, if you go back in the archives, on Booking the Territory, we're going through the first and last of wrestling, so debuts, finales, that kind of thing. And we've had a couple of other spin-off series. So again, in the archives, we were following the ups and downs of legitimately the highest man that ever lived, one David Tank Abbott. And if you go to the Twitter for that, at UTT Tank, you can get some hashtag tank facts.
Because we're just not running out of them. They just keep coming.
Yeah. Chuck Norris can make an omelette without eggs. Tank Abbott can make an omelette out of Chuck Norris.
Which is bizarre, because Chuck Norris then reconstitutes. And I'm not quite sure if it's before or after he's been eaten.
And just reappears.
Yeah, like, just out of thin air.
Tank Abbott never forgets what day it is between Christmas and New Year, because every day for Tank Abbott is payday.
Very true. He has a special pay window at the end of his drive in his Golden Gates.
Indeed he does. And if you mash a spell out, Tank Abbott, during a game of Scrabble, you instantly win the game.
And it also works like that in Boggle as well.
Yes, and Simon Says, as we've said. And in terms of other spin-off series, we have On Second Dadatory, where we are following every match that Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks have on their road to Wembley in 1981, and 80 million viewers.
And a wonderful education it is for me as well. I can't wait to get into season two after we're done with Unput in the territory.
Yeah, very much looking forward to getting back to the 1970s.
I'm sure there was warnings about going back to the 1970s from a certain ruling political party that have absolutely fucked everything, but we shan't go there.
Yeah, well, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Let's play Gator Go! Grab a club and get putting with Gator Go! Take a shot and watch him snap it up and pop it out! Keep score with the birdies! Do you have what it takes to get a hole in one? Let's play Gator Go! From Goliath!